This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
there are reports of other ZCTU members being arrested in Mutare. The police objected to the planned nationwide demonstration, citing the recent cholera outbreak.
That's Kudzai Zenawashi reporting from Harare. Details next also. Cameroon's election management body says it has received 25 petitions from candidates and voters calling for the October 7th presidential election to be annulled. And Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed has promised to positively consider the demands of soldiers who asked for a pay raise. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story in Harare today. Police have arrested members of the Zimbabwe Congress for Trade Unions, including its leader, Peter Mutasa. This as authorities scrapped a planned protest against a new tax, as well as other unpopular economic measures. Reporter Kudzai Zenawashi has details.
This morning, the streets of the capital Harare had a heavy police presence in anticipation of the planned protest by the Zimbabwe Congress for Trade Unions, or ZCTU. Speaking to the press before he was taken away by police, ZCTU President Peter Mutasa said the build-up to their demonstration had been tense.
We have been getting intimidation since we notified the public that we are going to demonstrate against tax injustice, to demonstrate against the price increases, to demonstrate against the general hardships that Zimbabweans are facing.
The heavy police presence was concentrated around the union's head office this morning. Mutasa described the situation.
Look at them. They are wearing very new regalia. They've come here armed to the teeth with guns as if they are going to war, as if they are going to face people who are armed. We are not armed. We just have our voices. We just want to use our voice to make the authorities know that Zimbabweans are suffering.
Mutasa said the crackdown on ZCTU was happening across the country.
They are also all over. In Bulawayo, they are condoning our office. In Mutare, they are condoning our office. In Chinoy, they are condoning our office. In Gweru, they are condoning our office.
There are reports of other ZCTU members being arrested in Mutare. The police objected to the planned nationwide demonstration, citing the recent cholera outbreak and a government ban against public gatherings. Mutasa, who had earlier tried to negotiate with the police, says their excuse is invalid.
They are saying there's some bit of cholera, but we saw the president there in a gathering at UZ. We know ZANPF was gathering in Mbare. We know that there have been festivals around, soccer matches around.
Also, observers noted that Zimbabwe's president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, attended a graduation ceremony just yesterday at the University of Zimbabwe. Mutasa was taken away by police just after giving this interview, a move that prompted the opposition leader, Nelson Chamisa, to speak out. In his tweet earlier, he said the arrest of the ZCTU president and other labor leaders confirms that abuse of the past is back. The recent continuous heavy deployment of police in the Harare Central Business District is evidence of fear. The guilty are afraid. He added that terror are short-lived tools of weak and vulnerable. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zenawashi from Harare.
Cameroon's elections management body says it has received 25 petitions from candidates and voters calling for the October 7th presidential election to be annulled. Moki Edwin Kenzeka reports from Yaoundé.
Cameroon's elections management body, ELECAM, says it has received 25 petitions calling for the cancellation of last Sunday's presidential election. Candidates Cabral Libi of the Opposition Universe Party and Joshua Osi of the Opposition Social Democratic Front are two of those who called for the polls to be annulled. They allege massive fraud and ballot stuffing in favor of President Paul Biya's ruling Cameroon People's Democratic Movement, CPDM party. Cleric Rigobert Gabamindanha of the Life and Peace Ministry also petitioned for the cancellation of the polls. He claims the Constitutional Council that certifies election results is controlled by Biya and that many opposition supporters like himself were not allowed to vote.
Je suis outré et gêné que un président potentiel arrive à son lieu où il doit.
He says he went to his polling station with his voter card, but was told that his name was not on the list of registered voters. Gabamindanha had applied to be a candidate in the election, but was rejected for not presenting all the required documents. 13 of the petitions to annul the election were from another would-be presidential candidate, Bertin Kisop, who is on pre-trial detention for supporting Anglophone separatists. Kisop, who was also rejected as a candidate, says members of his Cameroon Party for Social Justice reported irregularities and fraud that favored Biya. Cameroon's Minister of Labour and Social Security, Grégoire Ouna, has described the complaints as a distraction.
Il y a beaucoup d'amalgame, malheureusement, entre ceux qui parlent de la.
He says there should be no confusion on the role played by independent state institutions in the electoral process and by their candidate Paul Biya, who is still president. Ouna reiterates that all state institutions are independent and act as such. Cameroon's election body has denied any vote rigging. Head of ELECAM's legal unit, Mofong Marcel Kumfa, says opposition parties have no evidence to base their claims as they failed to send representatives to many polling stations.
The members of the local polling commission all signed the result sheet after counting, and each representative of the candidate, you go home with an original copy. So if you don't send a representative as the law requires, you cannot have the result sheet from that polling station because you were not present.
Opposition candidates say they were chased from polling stations by President Biya's supporters, the military, and armed groups. The Cameroon Renaissance Movement's Maurice Kamto, who this week claims victory, though without any evidence, is asking for a partial cancellation of the election results. Kamto alleges the military rigged polls in the restive northwest and southwest English-speaking regions where they were sent to secure polling stations. Armed Anglophone separatists had vowed to disrupt the election. The military says it only assisted by protecting voters and that no troops entered polling stations. The Electoral Commission has until the end of the week to respond to the petitions. The Constitutional Court has to rule on the claims before announcing the vote's final outcome on October 22. Biya faced 7 candidates in the poll, but having ruled Cameroon for 36 years and facing a divided opposition, he is widely expected to claim another 7-year mandate. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed met yesterday with several hundred soldiers who marched on his office to demand pay raises. According to his chief of staff, Abiy listened to the grievances carefully, reprimanded them for the wrong procedure they followed to express those grievances, but concluded the meeting with a promise to meet properly in the near future to positively consider their demands. I asked our reporter Eskinder Fereo in the Ethiopian capital to brief us on the matter.
Yeah, the internet service is back again after it was shut down for a couple of hours. And what happened was, Ethiopia is now a country where everybody wants to meet the prime minister. Many trust the prime minister, Abiy, the person, the leader, than they trust his government as an institution. So that has been demonstrated by the number of requests by the different parts of the society to meet and discuss with the prime minister. In the past, he had discussions with teachers, his generals, even Ethiopian artists, famous artists, as you remember. So maybe the security forces or the special forces, as they are called, felt it is now their turn to meet the prime minister and discuss with him. So, but the way they presented the request was not traditional or conventional.
According to the reports, the prime minister listened to the grievances carefully and reprimanded them for the wrong procedure they followed to express those grievances. So moving ahead, Abiy, what did he promise the soldiers, and were they satisfied by his answer?
A government official told me, well, this is a follow-up of the various discussions the prime minister had in the past with teachers, artists, and all the different parts of the society. And this is not a negotiation. They wanted to be listened by the prime minister. They wanted the prime minister to listen to their grievances, as it was described by them. And the prime minister listened to their demands. What was agreed upon, we don't know,
Beside the pay raise demand, the soldiers also requested that Mr. Abiy review the structure and operation of the military. What was that all about?
Review of the structure of the military is part of the reform the government of Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed has been, undergoing since Abiy assumed office last April. So my understanding is they want, the special forces asked the prime minister to, also for the reform to include, the military sector as well. My understanding and what I heard from officials close to the prime minister is they raised, various issues related to pay raise, perception, as you also mentioned, the structure of the army, and all these issues. What we don't know is whether there have been a consensus or an agreement on what to do next, on what should the next step be. So regarding perception, these special forces, especially since the 2005 elections in Ethiopia, where hundreds of people were killed following the violence, many people, have had, a negative perception about the Red Hat, the special forces. So they also, what I heard is they also wanted for this perception to be changed and also for them to have job security as well.
That was reporter Eskinder Fereo. He spoke with me from Addis Ababa. The government of Rwanda and the United Nations Refugee Agency this week began issuing machine-readable Refugee Convention travel documents. These new documents should help refugees become more self-reliant. Eugene Uwamana has details from Kigali, Rwanda.
Rwanda's government says all refugees leaving the country will be able to freely travel beyond its borders with machine-readable refugee conventional travel documents. For refugees, this is good news. Alain is from Burundi.
I work as a consultant. For most of the time, when I get an opportunity abroad, I can't go and work for it. And I've missed a lot without this. So I hope maybe for other opportunities that are coming, or in the next time, I hope I will get them.
For Ahmed Babafor, the UNHCR country representative, this travel document is another way to counter cuts in humanitarian assistance. He says it not only allows refugees to travel for medical care or education, it will give them access to the international market so they can be financially independent.
It will help all those who also have a visa to go do business outside the country and can come back. So it will strengthen their livelihood and help them to be more self-reliant and depend less on humanitarian assistance, which is decreasing.
Jean-Dalque Debonaire is Rwanda's Minister for Refugees and Disaster Management. She says, however, the new document does not allow refugees to return in their home countries. She says to return even once ends a person's refugee status. She says normally international laws for refugees allow them to travel anywhere except the country of origin, because if they had fled, it is because there were threats. And if they return, then it is assumed the threat is gone, so they can't use this document for returning there. The UNHCR says Rwanda is home to more than 170,000 refugees, mostly from neighboring Burundi and Democratic Republic of Congo. Early this year, the World Food Programme said funding cuts forced them to reduce food and cash aid to refugees 25%. Eugene Uwimana for VOA News, Kigali.
You're listening to African News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Yehiyus Wuhib in Washington. 21 past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. In Harare, police have arrested members of the Zimbabwe Congress for Trade Unions, including its leader, Peter Mutasa. Cameroon's elections management body says it has received 25 petitions from candidates and voters calling for the October 7th presidential election to be annulled. And Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed has promised to positively consider the demands of soldiers who asked for a pay raise. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Africa is seeking new ways to address the adverse impacts of climate change. Participants at the Regional Conference on Climate Change and Development in Nairobi say urgent action is needed to protect the growing population. From the Kenyan capital, VOA's Ruben Chama reports.
The Nairobi meeting follows a damning report by climate scientists warning that only a few years are left to save millions of vulnerable people from disasters caused by climate change. James Murombezi is a senior official with the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa's Climate Policy Center, or ACPC.
Remember, climate change is already happening, and remember, it is already impacting people in different ways. So when there is a drought, when there is flooding, when your infrastructure gets destroyed, the government or someone still needs to invest in ensuring that those impacts are mitigated.
The new study by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC, reports that countless people worldwide are already suffering the catastrophic effects of floods, heat waves, and droughts aggravated by climate change. Murombezi says the urgency to achieve a low-carbon climate-resilient economy is even greater now following that report.
The global climate agreement, the Paris Agreement, is committed to raising $100 billion every year for climate change. But unfortunately, so far, that figure has not yet been attained. So one of the issues that we are working towards is to explore how we can increase climate funding so that there can, in fact, be additional finance from the global community. But African governments already are putting in a lot of money. We estimate that up to 90% of our budgets go towards supporting climate adaptation already. And if climate change continues to have hard impacts, then that amount is going to increase.
Olushola Olayide, a representative from the African Union Commission stressed the need for unity on climate change issues.
To continue in the spirit of Pan-Africanism and African Renaissance, to speak with one voice and defend the African common position and its key messages in the international fora by reiterating the utmost commitment of the African Union Commission to continue to support our member states on climate change issues and in the implementation of the Paris Agreement in Africa.
About 700 researchers, policymakers, government officials and representatives of multilateral development banks took part in the three-day conference. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
Nigeria's military says at least 124 Boko Haram fighters were killed yesterday in attacks along the country's northern border. In one attack, the army said in social media, the extreme Islamist militants attacked a Nigerian army base along the Niger border near the village of Mitili. The army says it killed at least 76 attackers and lost 7 Nigerian soldiers. The rest died in a joint operation with Chad's army near the border along Lake Chad. The accounts, however, could not be independently verified. Boko Haram's violent campaign to take control of northeastern Nigeria has left more than 20,000 people dead in the Lake Chad region. Nearly 2 million people have been displaced. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the sunny side of sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and our engineer, Skip Sisk, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London!
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists, win prizes, and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Did you know that more than 1.6 million people acquired HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, in recent years? More than half of those infected were under 24 and most of them were young girls. You can protect yourself from HIV. If you're a man, use a condom every time you have sex. If you're a woman, insist that your partner use a condom. And whether you're a man or a woman, talk to your health provider about an HIV test.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA.